Well, would appreciate your prayers this morning. I have a burden to feel like is from the Lord to share with you. I pray that by His Spirit He'll make it profitable and that He would speak what He desires to directly to each of our hearts. I believe the question we heard in that song is an important one. And sometimes, many times, I believe we need to step back and have our perspective maybe changed a little bit. What will really matter a million years from now? I'd like to begin in Luke, the 14th chapter. Likely spend most of our time here this morning. Luke, the 14th chapter. Begin in the 18th verse. No, I'm sorry, the 16th. I want to think about excuses this morning. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Jesus in this parable is imparting as he did in every parable, an important lesson for us pertaining to more than just life and the affairs of life, but to the affairs of our souls. Jesus wasn't so concerned here about what they were having for supper, although he cared about that. Knowing the temporal needs that people have, he multiplied the loaves and the fish and gave them to eat. He cared about those things, and yet he cared more about people's souls. Whenever they came asking him if he had any bread, he was there at the well, I believe. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the Father. There was something to Jesus that far surpassed the temporal things of this life. And if we're going to be a follower of Christ, it'll have to be the same way for us as well. A certain man made a great supper. This is an imagery that we, I believe, can understand. If you've ever planned some event or maybe a special meal or a cookout or whatever it is, and it's not something that we're seeing here that was thrown together. It's not something that just ad hoc, you said, hey, by the way, if you want to come home with me, we'll throw a little extra chicken broth in the pot and you can come have dinner with us. That wasn't the case here. This was a great supper. This was a big deal. This was something that was forethought and planned probably for quite some time. Who's going to be invited to this? What all are we going to prepare for this meal? How do we make sure that we've got all the provisions that we need for the meal that's going to be provided? Let's make sure that we have plenty. If there's one thing as a host that you know is a terrible feeling, it's when you start seeing the bottom of the pot and there's still people in line. So let's make sure that we've got plenty here, because this is a great supper that we're planning and organizing. We'll have in our country, and really in probably about every nation state, we have dinners, occasion events that are planned that are sponsored by the state dinners. Within our White House, whenever a state dinner is planned, that's not the dinner that's planned every evening for the president and whoever else might be at the White House that night. A state dinner is something that is very, very ornate in decorations and very meticulously planned out, and the finest of food and everything is going to be put forth at this state dinner. Many times it will be to welcome the head of another state, maybe a prime minister, a king or queen, or another president from another nation is here. And so we're going to put our best foot forward as a nation. And we're going to put out the best spread and entertainment and hospitality that we can for this dinner. And they begin to plan for the dinner, and they, one of the things of preparation is to plan who all will we invite to this dinner. Not only, of course, the guests of honor and the heads of state, but who else is worthy of such an invitation to be included here. The room will hold maybe 120 or 140, and so there's a limited list of people that we can include. Who will be on that list? Who will make the cut? They'll invite probably ambassadors to that country and other dignitaries of the nation and the government that'll be invited to this dinner, this state dinner. Those who have planned such things said you have to do a lot of planning. Planning for those who should be there. Planning for those who think they should be there and yet you determine they shouldn't be there, and how to handle that. And how to make sure nobody shows up that shouldn't be there. It's quite an honor to receive an official invitation from the President of the United States. You are invited as a guest of the state, or as a guest of the United States, to participate in this dinner. It's exclusive. Not everybody's invited to this dinner. And if you receive mail like that, that is a very enviable invitation to receive. There are a lot of people who would love to be included in an event like that. If you receive something like that in the mail, and it's personally signed by, not to whatever your political opinions might be of the heads of state, if it's signed by the President of the United States, chances are it's not just something you're going to, well, here's some more junk mail. File that with the last credit card offer that we got. This is something that's important. It's personal. It's addressed to me. And what an honor to be invited to something like this. You're not going to show up in just your casual clothes. You're not just going to happen by. This is something, if you receive an honor like that, chances are you're excited about it. Chances are you as well are planning for your participation in this event. Now, I just want us to think about this setting that I believe that Jesus was trying to portray in people's minds. This man has created is planning a great supper. And he says that he bade many. He sent out the invitations. You're invited. You're to participate. It's expected that you'll be here for this great supper. And he sent his servant at supper time. Now, this was commonplace in the East and in those times that the invitation would go out in advance. Here's what's being planned to the event, and we'd like for you to be there and request the honor of your presence, and it'll be on such and such date. And then whenever the time is right, whenever everything is prepared and it's all ready now to sit down and dine, they'll send out the servant and knock on the doors and put the call out that it's time now. You've gotten the notice, you received the invitation, you knew it was coming, and now the time is ready. The idea being you're ready as well. You're ready to go. You've been anticipating it. You've been maybe excited about this invitation. You've got your best clothes on and just waiting for the call to come forth where you say, okay, maybe I'll just put my shoes on now and I'm ready to go out the door and head to this great supper that I've been anticipating. So that invitation went out, and the call, the summons that it's now time to respond to your invitation. What do you think Jesus was trying to portray? I already said it wasn't the bread and meat that they were putting forth in the evening time. You know, there's a great banquet prepared by the God of heaven for the souls of mankind. This great banquet that has been prepared, the invitations have gone out. People have been summoned, have been beckoned. When you think about the nation of Israel, remember John said of Jesus that he came unto his own, the Jewish people, but his own received him not. And so to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to receive the highest honor that could be conferred upon mankind. He came first unto the nation of Israel, unto the ones of unto whom the prophets had come, and the law had been given, and they had the understanding, and through whom Jesus and his seed was raised to be their Savior and their Messiah. Unto them he came and he presented himself and said unto them, the invitation has gone out throughout the centuries, throughout the millennium. Moses talked about it. The prophets talked about it. This great invitation of the banquet for mankind and for the souls of man. And now the time has come. Let's read on. Come, all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Now, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, well, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to prove them now. I pray thee, have me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I can't come. I'm not able to come now. What is it that we see here of these 3 responses? Excuses. It says they all began to make excuse. What is an excuse? It's something offered as justification or grounds for being released from a duty or obligation. It was expected that if you received an invitation to the Great Supper, that conferred with it an obligation. We call it today RSVP. That there's an expectation that you're going to respond to this invitation. It's expected if you've been invited, they will create the state dinners. They'll have on the place settings your name. This is reserved for you and none other. We've made plans for you. We've made preparations for you. And there's place for you to sit right here. So how would it be if at a state dinner the invitation has gone out, your name card has been placed on the plate, and whenever the time comes, and maybe the call, they say, we'll call when we're ready. And they call and they say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I've had something come up, and I've got to go take care of something today. Well, you know what, I've been looking at this piece of land over here and thinking about buying it, and I'm sorry, but please excuse me, I'm not going to make it this year. I need to go close on that deal over here. Well, I'm sorry, I've just bought a yoke of oxen, or in our day, I've just bought a new car. And I gotta go sign the papers. I gotta go take it on a test drive. I'm sorry, please have me excused. Well, I'm sorry, there's a situation that's come up with my family or my loved ones. I'm not gonna be able to come. You know, there are things that come up in life. And those sorts of things might happen whenever I invite you over to dinner or you me. There may be things that come up that prevent me from fulfilling what I expected to do. It's why we say, if the Lord will, then we'll do this or that. But can you imagine the slight that it would be to the President of the United States to hear in response, well, yeah, no, I'm sorry, I've had something come up and I'm not going to make it. And another one, well, I'm sorry, as we've already described and as Jesus described it. He was trying to help them to realize that that would be the greatest of all slights. It's likely not something that you do. I saw something this week that really struck me, and I believe it's so true. If it is important to you, you'll make a way, not an excuse. And I want us to get a hold of that. If it is important to you, you'll find a way, not an excuse. What this is really dealing with is what Brother Greg mentioned a little earlier. This has to do with the heart. What Jesus is dealing with, there were some people that didn't highly enough esteem the invitation they received. Because had they esteemed it, you know what they would have said? When it came time to buy a property, they would say to the person they were buying the property from, "I'm sorry, I've received an invitation to a great supper. I pray have me excused. I got somewhere I've got to be." Whenever they go to buy the yokes of oxen, to say, "I'm sorry, if I miss out on this good deal, I just miss out. There's something I got to go do. I'm sorry, let him go to someone else if you need to, or if they're still here, I'll buy him tomorrow." That's what you do whenever something's important to you. And it really speaks to the priorities that I have in my life and the priorities that these men had whenever they received their invitation from this host and said, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it. I'm sorry, I've got an excuse for you." Life will always provide excuses for us. Can I say life? Can I say the enemy? When it comes to things of our souls, when it comes to the great invitation that comes from God, the invitation for us to come, and as Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door unto me, I'll come in and sup with him. I want to have this kind of fellowship with you, this kind of closeness and communion." That's the idea of being invited to a supper. You do that for your friends. You do that for those that you love. Come, partake of what I've spread for you. To my friends, to those that I count as important, come. And that's why this invitation was that went out. Come. Come, you're important to me. I want you to be able to be a partaker of heaven's greatest blessings that are bestowed upon you through this great supper. This supper, I believe, could be thought of as the kingdom of God itself. When the kingdom was preached and every man pressed into it, the invitation was given. But there was a pressing that took place. Every man had to press into the kingdom. I'm going to tell you, in the day and age that we live in, we're going to have to press through excuses. We're going to have to press through reasons that would come up in my mind of why I can't do this, why I can't do that, why I can't put the Lord first today or this week. I've got this that I need to tend to, and I've got that I've got to go do over here. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, today I don't have time for you today. Well, Lord, I know this needs to be done for you, Lord, but I'm too busy right now in my life. Lord, I'm too busy. I've got other things, but think about these excuses. Was there anything wrong with buying a piece of land? Was there anything wrong with buying yokes of oxen? Was there anything wrong with marrying a wife? It wasn't the activities that they were engaged in that were wrong. But it's the fact that their hearts were wrong. Because they put those things above the Lord in their lives. They allowed those things to become so important to them. And we can think about whether it's our jobs or our relationships or temporal things that I engage in life, buying and selling and trading and participating in the business of life, that if I'm not careful, those things will become excuses for me in my life. Those things will become the thing that I find that I'm saying, "I've got to go do this." And I use this as a reason or an excuse why I can't respond to the Lord right now. Why I can't put the Lord first right now in my life. Well, Lord, you know I've got to have a job. Yes. He does know that. Well, Lord, you know that I'm married right now. Yes, he does know that. Lord, you know I have young children right now. Yes, he knows that. But Lord, help us that we not be as these men that answered the servant of the Lord to say, I don't have time for that right now. I've got other things that I'm busied with at this time. How did the Lord of the feast respond to that? So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Oh, what beautiful truths are contained in this parable. I had intended for you to be able to get a hold of this. Oh, nation of Israel, this was for you. But you didn't know your hour of visitation. You didn't realize that you were steeped in your religious ideology. That started out right. Had so many truths, but you became so absorbed, self-absorbed in this that you didn't even realize this invitation is for you. You didn't even realize your own condition. I had intended this for you. But since you're not accepting it, this invitation is going out far and wide. Go out into the lanes and the highways and invite those of a lower status, those that you might be inclined to look down your nose at. Yes, even that Samaritan woman at the well. This invitation has gone out now across the world. It is for all mankind. A great banquet has been prepared. Come and participate in it. Partake in it. Go out. But he said that he was angry. He was angry. And he said, I'm going to skip down to the 24th verse, that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. The men, they just had a wife. There's nothing wrong with that. Was there? They were bidden, and they neglected the call. And the master said that they won't have any part of this. Do you realize it can be the same with our souls? The invitation's gone out. The call has gone out across the world. And I know there's some messages here to the Jews and then the Gentiles, but I want us to think about where we're at. We have some different backgrounds here. But you know, to those who are churched, to those who are raised among the church of God, thank the Lord, there's such a value in that. To those who are raised by godly parents, not everyone has been. Do you know that is an advantage? That is a benefit. If you were raised being exposed to the truth, thank the Lord, that's a great benefit to your soul. But there's also a responsibility that comes with it. I've received the invitation. I know about the invitation. I know what it means. And then if I should get into a place in my life that I'm not prioritizing, I'm not valuing it anymore. You know, we can become so familiar with the things of God, so familiar with the truths of His Word, so familiar with the messages of the Gospel. Oh, I've heard it all my life. And we can become so cavalier about it, so casual with the things of God, that I don't esteem it as the number one thing in my life. This is more important to me than anything else. Oh, Lord, I long for Your Word. Lord, I long to be in Your presence. Lord, I long to be more like You. If we're not careful, even we who are churched and of a background of a godly home and raised among the church of God, folks, we've been called. But there is a responsibility that comes with our calling. Scripture says many have been called, but few. When it comes down to it, few are chosen. This isn't talking about a pre-election of the Lord saying, you, I want in heaven. You, you're destined for hell. You, you're born for destruction. You, I want... That's not what this is talking about. He said, whosoever will. Whosoever will, let him come. And let him drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will answer this call. And so he went out and he invited the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Aren't you thankful that's who Jesus came for? Aren't you thankful that if we're neglected by society, if we're outcast, if I've got needs in my life, if I'm broken, if I have brokenness and dysfunction in my family or in my life, you know the Lord calls you to? The Lord says, go out and invite all of them. I think about the man who was blind and the Lord healed him, and the Jews didn't like his answer. They didn't like the idea that Jesus is the one that did this, because we know he's a sinner. And they cast him out of the temple there. And it says that Jesus came and found him. Jesus came and revealed himself to him. Folks, if we are, the scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not those who are rich in their own ideas. Not those who are self-sufficient in their own minds. But to those that are poor in spirit. To those that have been broken by sin. To those that find themselves just broken and bruised. For those Christ died. For those the invitation was given. That I came to heal your bruises. I came, I'm going to tell you folks, the master of this house, he's not ashamed when we come dragging through the doors. Master, here I am. I'm broken. I'm crippled. I'm a mess. He says, come. Come, I've got a place for you right over here. I've got a place already set for you at the table. You're not an outcast. You're not a third-class citizen. You are invited to sit at the table of the banqueting house of the Lord. Come on in. Welcome. And so he went out and invited him, and the servant said, Lord, I have done as you've commanded. And these next words proclaim one of the most beautiful gospel messages. And yet there is room. Master, I've done it. Send the invitation out to the religious, out to the special ones that you invited. Lord, they didn't want it. They didn't care about it. So I went out and I invited the poor. I invited the homeless man that was on the side of the road. I invited this one. And Lord, these people that are dragging in behind me, I invited them. But Lord, there's still room. You know, that message is still true today in 2024. There is yet room. There is still room at the Father's table. It's not full yet. There's not 144,000, and once that number's full, that's it. Thank the Lord, there is still room in Father's house. And so he said, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges. Notice he didn't say, well, okay, let's just go ahead and start with the supper. It is what it is. The table is half empty. There was something in his heart that said, I want my house full. I want every seat to be filled at the table. I've paid the price. I've made the preparation for everyone to be able to enjoy it. Go and fill my house. We'll wait for you. Go out and take the message now into the highways and the hedges. You're not done yet. And the message to us is, we're not done yet. Whatever place the Lord has you to fill, He wants you to be one of the servants that's inviting other people. Yes, those that are hurting, those that are maimed, those that are broken. I'm going to tell you, there's an invitation I have from the God of heaven for you. It's got your name on it. You can be raised from sin to royal honor, even reigning, Lord, with Thee. That invitation's for you. Folks, don't get discouraged. Let's not just sit in and close ourselves up as a congregation and say nobody cares anymore. Nobody wants the truth anymore. Folks, we are compelled. We are pressed by the Lord of the harvest. He says, go out into the highways and the hedges. We're not done yet. There's some doors that we haven't knocked on yet. There's some phone calls that we haven't made yet. Go out, and it said, compel them. Folks, this is something that's done with urgency. This is something that the servant felt urgent about from the master. No, please, would you come? Please, this is your opportunity. And I wonder if some of them might have had excuses. Well, I'm not dressed very good. No, no, come on. Come on, the Lord, He wants you. No, you don't know who I am. You mean the one, I don't know, in my mind, the one up there in the hill in the pallet? No. Yes, He said that you're invited. Come on. You know, that's part of sharing the gospel message. The enemy builds in people's minds all these strongholds of why it's not for them, of why they could never be saved, of why they could never be a part, of why they could never live that kind of life. And it is our call. Go out and share the invitation with them. Yes, you can. Yes, the invitation is for you. May I compel you? May I urge you? Now, I want us to think about the difference. He didn't say, go back and compel the one that's out there working with his oxen now. Go out and compel the man with a wife. You're saying, did he not care? You know, they knew. They already knew. They had the invitation. They had the knowledge. And they yet chose to turn from it. Not interested. Folks, the Lord will let us, if He's brought us to an understanding and awareness of an invitation, of a call, and if I choose to turn away from it, oh, I thank the Lord for His mercy, that He'll call and He'll call, but folks, the time will come. But He says, all right, let him plow with his oxen. All right, let him enjoy his land. Let him enjoy his wife. All right. Folks, it comes down to where is our heart. But to those who hadn't heard, to them, He said, go and compel them. Go and urge them. That my house may be filled. That's the Father's heart. It's His desire still today is that His house would be filled. There will be those who find excuses. And I pray that the Lord would impress upon each of us. I'm not talking to all of Springfield today. The Lord knows why He gave me this burden. I'm talking to those that are here and any who might hear my voice. Let's be careful about excuses. You know the thing about excuses? What we see in this passage is that it really shed light on a dishonesty of heart. This wasn't the crowd who said, no way, not interested, get out of here. This was the crowd that most likely, when they got the invitation in the first place, oh, look at this. All right, yeah, let's go. Jesus gave a parable dealing of something similarly. He said there were two sons. And the father said to both of them, I need you to go out into my field and work today. And the one said, yes, Father, I go. And the other said, I'm not going. I'm not doing it. But the son who said, yes, Father, I go, when it came down to it, he didn't actually go. So what was counted for him? Was it his willingness? Or was it what he actually did? The other son that said, I'm not going. There was something that started touching him. And he changed his mind and his heart. And he said, I'm going. And he went. Lord, help us not to be as the son who gives lip service. Who says, yes, yes, Lord. Yeah, oh, of course, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I don't want to go out in the world. I'm not interested in being an atheist. That's foolishness. I'm not interested in going out into the depths of sin. I'm not interested. But yet, when it comes down to it, of what am I doing today of the Father's will? How am I responding to the call in my life? Jesus said, the Father knows that you have need of all these other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Don't worry about those. All these other things are the potential excuses. Don't worry about those things. You put God first in your life, and the Lord will take care of all of that. But instead of just acknowledging, honestly, you know what? This isn't the most important thing to me, going to this feast. I'm really more excited about these new oxen I bought. And that's why I'm not going to the feast. I just don't really care. That's not the message that he sent back. Instead, he cloaked it in, you know, this is a legitimate thing. I really got to take care of this. There's really a need here. And he kind of hid behind that. When at the end of the day, the truth of the matter was his heart just wasn't in it. Because if it was, we've already said, he would make the excuses on the other side of the responsibility. I'm sorry, I can't buy the land today. I've got a more important invitation. And our lives consist, yes, of a major decision of whether we follow the Lord or not. But it also consists of a lifetime of daily choices. What choices am I making today? Am I seeking the Lord first? Or am I seeking all these other things and making excuses in my mind? You know, that dishonesty may not have even been, you know, I know I don't want to go, but I'm going to tell him this. The way this works, when we make excuses, many times we convince ourselves. You know what? This is important. I really do have to tend to this. I really do have to take care of this. But I fail to see that there's something deeper under the surface that's causing me to make the decisions that I'm making. What do we do with our lives? Luke, the 9th chapter. 9 and 59 of Luke. There was a man who came saying, Lord, I want to follow you whithersoever thou goest. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Yes, I'm willing. I want to do it. But I got some things I got to take care of first. Important things. My father died. I want to go back and bury him. Important. But when it comes to following Jesus, there is nothing more important. And another said, Lord, I'll follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell that are at home at my house. Just hold on a little bit, Lord. Just hold on to that invitation. How many people do that in their lives? Lord, I hear the call. Lord, I hear you calling me to something. But hold on, I'll get to that. But first, I got this I'm worried about, it, and I got to take care of that. You know that man that bought 5 yoke of oxen, the next weekend he would have probably been buying 5 more yoke. Or he would have been busy with something else. If our hearts are not in serving the Lord, the enemy will provide us every time an excuse for not putting the Lord first in our lives. He said, let the dead bury their dead. I said, well, that sounds harsh. You let them take care of that. If you want to serve me, if you want to follow me, this is what it's going to take. You're going to have to be willing to say, Lord, even if it's the things that are dearest to me, Lord, if it's the things that are most attached to me, if it's even family and loved ones, no man except he leave father and mother and lands and children and brethren and all. You're not fit to be part of the kingdom of God. You're going to have to be willing to put the Lord first above anything else in life. And again, it's one thing to say this. Those men who first received the invitation to the supper, I think, would have said, yes, I'm one of, just imagine him as a king. Doesn't say that, but I'm one of the king's subjects. Yes, I'm his friend. Yes, I intend to go. It wasn't the intention. It wasn't the thought, but it was about when it came down to it. When it came down to what influenced the daily decisions that they made, it wasn't the Lord first in their life. It was the cares of life. And so Jesus said in the 21st chapter, in the 34th verse, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth." Take heed to yourselves. Don't allow the busyness and the cares of life to beset you. Yes. Folks, this applies to me as much as it does to any one of you. Think about, for time's sake, we won't read it, but in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, there were people who were invited to a wedding feast. And there came in a man who didn't have a wedding garment on. There were wedding garments that were being provided, but he didn't have one on. And he asked him, "Friend, how is it that you don't have a wedding garment?" And it said that he was speechless. He didn't have any excuses. There was nothing he could say. He was speechless. And the master of the house said, "Bind him, cast him out." You know, at the end of all things, excuses will fall away. At the end of all things, my reasonings will seem so frail. We heard the song, "In a million years." A million years from now, what will really matter? A million years from now, will it really matter if I got a good deal on these yoke of oxen? A million years from now, will it really matter if I've bought this piece of land that's necessary for my farm operation? Or whatever the case is, will it really matter? What is it that's most important in our lives? I remember a time I was in a congregation in a different state working with some folks and was concerned because I hadn't seen them out at service. Well, they said, "Well, we're kind of tight on money." They had a little ways they had to drive. Said, "Kind of tight on money, and we just weren't able to make the drive. We just couldn't afford the gas money." And yet I heard him talking to some other people saying, "Yeah, they had some really great deals this last weekend, and we drove up to such and such city that was just as far as the chapel was. And did some shopping." And folks, you know, we might fool other people, but we're not going to fool the Lord. If I can afford to go drive the same distance to do some shopping, I'll say, "Look, my children need clothes, but I need groceries." You see the way excuses work? Are you going to tell me I don't need groceries? Well, you might tell me that, but are you going to tell me that I don't need clothes for my children? Yes, I do. You can't argue. You can't tell me there's anything wrong with me going to buy clothes for my children. You can't tell me I'm a sinner if I miss service to go do that. You can't tell me that. But folks, the Lord knows the desires of our heart. And if I have a willingness of heart to latch on to the necessary things of life, even the necessary things of life, to say, "You know what? That's an excuse." But the truth is, my heart's not really in it. Because if my heart's in it, you know, there's also stores are also open Saturdays. You know, you can buy groceries on Saturdays as well. I just want us, and I have no desire to be harsh or critical or judge anybody, but I want us to search ourselves and say, "Lord, You know what's motivating." Because I'll tell you, I look back at a time in my life that I remember if I was sick or something happened, or there was bad storms or something, and well, service was called off. Whew. And, well, not feeling too good tonight, you know. Folks, please understand, there are times that it's best to be at home recovering. That's not where I'm trying. But what I'm urging us to do is not to look at your brother. Is for me to look at myself and say, "Lord, You know where my heart is. Lord, You know what my desires are. You know what comes in what order in my life. Am I seeking You first?" Let's close in the 12th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 12. It's talking about the Lord who gave to his stewards responsibility. And says in verse 45, if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat his men servants and maid servants to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You know, I look at this with fear and say, Lord, I realize that there is much that's been committed to me. And it's a blessing. And I thank you for it. But it also makes me responsible. Of all that's been committed, of truths, of godly legacy, of the opportunity that I have, like people in other parts of the world don't have, to come and meet together and hear from the Word of God and to encourage one another. Lord, I'm responsible. And that means there's much required of me. Lord, what am I doing with what you've given me? Lord, help us today that we would have a heart for God. You know, when it comes to not just to matters of salvation, you know, the Lord wants to call each of us to deeper places of consecration in our lives. And you know, those can be places that I can shy back from and be afraid of. What if the Lord asked me to do this or this? Or, Lord, I'm not ready for that. Remember when the Lord called me to preach? I'm so young. Lord, I have a young son. I'm still in college. This isn't a good time. But there's a call that I had to do something with. Am I going to answer this call? Or am I going to say, Lord, I'm turning back to the oxen? Folks, what's the Lord calling you unto? What's the call in your life? And what am I doing on a daily basis to answer the call? You pray for me. Amen.